Yo, what is up? It is Monday. We got a little Monday swagger, a lot of energy this week. We got some real news for you today. We always have real news. Talk about Carvana selling cars for less. Really? A day to purge, and we're going to the moon, or we're not going to the moon. Everywhere I go, the people or we're not going to the moon.
We'll talk about that. Our goal is to not roll fake news. That's a primary goal of ours. Real news only here at Asodu.
It's a low bar.
Real
Kyle.
News only.
It's a low bar.
Except for that
days.
One time we threw the thing about the BMW heated seats, and everyone was like, BMW heated seats thing, and then it was like, oh, it's not exactly that.
Yeah.
But you know, hey, look, we were just talking about the things that everybody talks about. So it's like, no, hey, we're going to the moon. Fake news.
I don't know if we talk about everything other people talk about. There's a lot of things we don't talk about on this show.
There's a lot that we don't talk about.
We're going to release a show when we're both retired and we both have nothing to lose. And it's going to be called Things We Don't Talk About. And then we're just going to just kick ourselves out of the whole industry in one fell swoop.
In one fell swoop. Now you know. Now everybody knows what the real plan is. Hey, I've got an announcement.
It's a big one.
Just so everyone knows.
This is a big
one. There are times in your life where things happen and you just have to talk about them. Look, it's like when your kid takes a dump for the first time, that's a big deal.
I've never talked about that publicly.
You've coached it, right? But to this weekend, we spent a solid week and a half coaching out a tooth in my house.
It was one of those.
Coaching out a tooth. It's like, no, we promise you can. You definitely can. And so this weekend, finally, after much debate, much struggle, my son has lost his very first tooth, and he pulled it himself. It was actually pretty
legit.
Was
it just like pulled it out with his hand, or was there like some contraption involved?
No, it was the old pull it out with his hand and that whole nine yards. But we went through, I think there were like 9 different bribes. And just to be real fair, one of them was, I'll talk about it on the podcast because it's literally my kid's goal in life to get on the podcast.
Congratulations.
So, there we
good
go.
Job.
There
you
we
made
go.
It, buddy.
He did.
You know, I think you had missed a real opportunity to tie it to an EV and like have the first tooth pulled out by an EV.
Oh, what was I thinking?
That could have been part of history. Hey, I'm just the idea guy after the fact. I'm a Monday morning
quarterback. She said I had such great ideas last time.
After. we got 2 live streaming episodes of Auto Collabs coming at you hot today. You don't want to miss either of these, let me just say.
No,
Darren Doan is going to be on at noon. And if you don't know Darren Doan, you probably do if you've been around this ecosystem enough. But, I mean, you need to check out this episode because it is going to expand your horizons in directions I didn't even expect. And I expect the unexpected when Darren Doan's on. Second one is going to be a ton of fun. Michael Johnson, who is our fellow and resident Aussie, is going to be at AsotaCon with Sales Logs. They're the ones that actually made the awesome scarf that's not in the shot. Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. That one's one to pay attention to and hang on till the end because we get into some stuff about inventory dynamics.
Oh, my gosh.
That, like, I would have never expected to have from this conversation. But I think U.S. auto dealers can take a lot from what Australian auto dealers
that
are dealing with
me.
Right now.
Mm-hmm.
I said at the end of the interview, I was like, everybody's going to be swarming this guy to like ask the real questions.
We should.
You know, so
yeah. Like talking about knowing like the Monday morning quarterback, like we would have talked about those things first had we even known.
Right.
You got to listen to it though. We're streaming live on LinkedIn at noon and at 3 p.m. Eastern, or you could just go and search Auto Collabs on your favorite podcast platform and listen to them right now. You can binge listen this morning. They would be a great way to start your week. We're going to say that. We also, look, if you're not coming to AsotaCon, if you're a dealer, if you're in the Philly area or you can get to Philly, get your tickets now. AsotuCon.com. We have a full roster, full agenda. People are coming. The hotels are filling up. You got to be there. It's going to be nuts. You got to be there. That's enough said. We'll talk about it a lot. Let's get into some news, huh?
Let's do it. So, let's get into this one's good. I can't wait for you to lay this one.
This is a good one. Okay, so
hold on. I'm a popcorn.
One of the great things about this developing AsotuCon community is the fact that our people and our thinkers and our thought leaders and in the AsotuVerse, they just start sending us stuff, right? Because they're all like, the time. Oh, this needs to be talked about. This needs to be talked about. And everything, let's face it, everything can't be talked about everywhere, but we can talk about this here. So here's the question. Does Carvana really sell cars for lower prices as stated? Well, Forbes contributor Jeremy Alicandri has a very hard time.
He's my dude. My dude, Jeremy.
We should reach out to him. He has a very hard time finding proof of that statement. And here's what he did. By visiting the Wayback Machine website, he recovered deleted content, which I don't know if we have a visual of it. Probably not, but you have to go to the article and the link. It was shown from Carvana's website that promised shoppers an average savings of $21.99 for each vehicle purchased from its site. Whoa. The content also stated that Carvana saved its customers $130 million versus traditional car dealers, a number that represented accumulated savings for all sold vehicles since 2016. They cited KBB as a resource in the fine print, so Jeremy reaches out to KBB. And KBB is like, it was awesome. Carvana didn't respond. KBB came back and said, yeah, we can't endorse the accuracy of that. There's internal numbers that they're using as part of their calculation. So then he went to the public financial data from Carvana. And he said, well, actually, they make higher profits per each used vehicle sold than dealers. Okay. So then he went, this was cool. He went to our friends at VinQ. And VinQ are our people, pretty smart people. And they deployed their algorithm to find that Carvana's prices were higher than dealers 72% of the time on listings. Thanks, VinQ.
Yo.
Getting a little truth up in there.
Paying a premium for experience, y'all.
Yeah, look, to this point, we're not saying that the Carvana experience isn't good. It could be. It could be great. Regarding financing, Carvana claims to give their customers lower rates. However, on an average from 2018 to 2021, Carvana's average rate was 13.41% and dealers' average rate was 8.76%.
Unbelievable.
So, our buddy Jeremy uncovered a big
I mean, and when we say our buddy Jeremy.
He's our buddy now. He's our buddy now. Jeremy, we're coming for you, man. We got to get him to hang out. Oh, we should get him to a SoDaCon.
I know. Where does he live? I'm like scouring the
we
thing.
We can find
like,
this. Whatever it is, I'm sure he can fly there fairly easily. We're going to reach out to him today. So the point is that he's starting to just proof out the claims that are being made. Carvana has had a lot of scrutiny lately. There's been a lot of things that just don't seem quite right. Now, granted, they've done a great job revolutionizing online retail for dealers. They've done a great job showing people what the buying experience online could be and built a great brand around it that people have overall favorable impression of. Showing you that if you build great brand, guess what? You can actually get past a lot of this other stuff. It'll eventually catch up with you, and it seems like it kind of is now. But Carvana finally responded to him after this came out, and they asked that this could be added to the article. So he graciously added, said buying and financing used vehicles incorporates a litany of variables and comparing cost or rates must examine similar buyers and all required fees, including, for instance, that other dealers may charge documentation fees that can approach $700. Carvana has delivered industry-leading experiences for buying or selling used cars to millions of customers and is proud to have recently been named the number two automotive brand in the U.S. as designated by Forbes, the same article, the same publication this came out in, 2020 most consumer-centric companies list. So they were like, hey, someone our brand is really
file
good.
System.
Now they did a good job saying put like, well.
It was great. It was great. Okay, so here's the thing. Perceived value is a reality.
Yes.
So we know that in the marketplace.
Truth.
Whatever the perceived value of the ability to transact or have a certain experience with a certain consumer matrix,
yep.
That's the value that's ascribed to it. Mm-hmm. Now, is this, you know, I think the major question that actually Todd Caputo sent us was, hey, is this like actually malpractice? Is this poor practice to say that your average shopper is going to save X versus another?
You know, oh, yeah. We skipped the part of the article where Jeremy went in. He's Jeremy now. Where he went into the regulatory hot water that they could be in. You know, we've talked about the FTC and all the regulations. He's like, here's how all these things might land them in a whole lot of trouble potentially. So I'm sorry, I need to contextualize that.
Yeah. So to say like, hey, variance over or under KBB, whether it be trade values or, you know, or even retail values, and understanding that the variables that are attached to that are so much deeper. You know, I think that this is just a proof case for, and I think that, you know, if he had to use the Wayback Machine, this means, hey, he is going way back. And we've seen actually Carvana shift their branding away from value or cost savings into experience. And I think that's just a note to everyone that, especially as we think about like all these FTC regulations, if all you're trading on is price, then you put yourself in a position of needing to explain it more and more often. And so if you trade on experience, there's less explaining to do. You don't got no explaining to
less
do. You know what I'm saying?
To do. Yeah, so Takaputo, if you know, he's part of the Sotuverse, former dealer, ran the delivery centers, opened them up all over the country for Echo Park, now is doing some consulting. He gave us a couple bullets with his thoughts on this when he sent it through. He's like, hey, the author used the Wayback Machine. They suggested Carvana could be in some legal issues. He's like, and a lot of other dealers do similar stuff, right? Like saying $3,000 below Blue Book, or, you know, you're going to save X amount of money, right? That's all going to be a big problem with these new proposed regulations. With the new rules coming, you know, Todd was questioning whether or not regulators are going to go into the Wayback Machine and see who was saying the, I mean, obviously you're not going to go back, like you're not guilty of anything, right? In the past, if the regulations just come up, but you can see who is really likely.
2 years from now, would they go back a year?
And to prove that like it was a propensity in some kind of case or filing. So takeaway from this is, look, your stuff always catches up with you. Building a great brand actually helps you, right? In times when there's questions or rough water, and we'll see what comes out with Carvana, right? Like playing the devil's advocate, Carvana, like you said, Kyle, trades on value, and the value proposition changes over time, and whatever business practices are under there that are like, well, that's all going to have to come out when it comes out. The regardless is, the best thing we can be doing as an industry is to being upfront with our consumers, is being transparent with our consumers, like for real, for real, for real. And doing the work to build a brand that is empathetic and connects with the customers where they are at. Speaking about customers and where they're at.
You got it. You got it. I knew there was 18 different ways we could have gone with that. It's coming. This is perfect.
Go ahead. You want to hit it?
As a marketer, I've been watching this kind of story unfold for the last a little over a month and a half since Google stated that they were going to be updating their content requirements for websites and web providers targeting unhelpful content, because what their desire is to actually create better human experiences. It's called the helpful content update. So when you think about that, how about that?
Leave it to Google.
And what they want content creators and people to be focusing on is driving consumer experiences in a people first approach. And so, I love the graphic. That was solid, honestly. If you weren't watching, you should have been watching. It was great. So there's a couple questions that they're going to be looking at, and they're going to be tuning their algorithm for content, because if we know anything about content, what it drives is organic traffic when people are searching for different articles or related items on the internet. So what they're asking for is for a couple of good qualities. Here's just a couple that we drew out. Would someone reading your content leave feeling like they had a satisfying experience? Interesting.
That's a fair benchmark. It's kind of like a net promoter score of your content.
Yeah. It's like, I left satisfied. Like that restaurant was good, you know, whatever that may be. Does your content clearly demonstrate firsthand expertise and a depth of knowledge? For example, expertise that comes from having actually used a product, service, or visiting a place. So I am sure things like real user reviews, walkarounds, elements, like you look in an Edmunds or a cars.com and the content that they have, they're taking all of these editors, putting them in cars, and they're going, I experienced X.
Yep.
And I think that we can take a note from that. Instead of this vehicle does X, it's I experienced X is probably the better mode of content that we're going to see out of this. Now, here's what I think is the big question mark, especially for automotive, when we pay for a lot of repetitive SEO content across different providers. So bad qualities for people first include creating content to primarily attract people from search engines rather than made for humans.
Ruh-roh.
Kind of like, okay, so but we got this stuff on our website. Are you producing a lot of content on different topics in hopes of the same, like that some of it might perform well in search results? So are you just kind of spray and pray, right? Maybe something will hit. Does your content leave readers feeling like they need to search again to get better information from other sources? So like, I think that that's a really key one, mm-hmm. because a lot of times what we do is we just kind of put a half of it in or half of the work, and all of a sudden readers are just left searching.
Yeah.
And then this is one that I love. Are you writing to a particular word count because you've heard or read that Google has a preferred word count? This is great because every SEO specialist you go to,
2,500, 1,500,
2,500 words. You got to do 1,000 words, right? And everybody's like 1,013. Like, I got the 1,000. Check.
Figured out the hack.
Which is then that truncated search result.
Well, the funny part about this one is Google literally put in their document in parentheses after that statement, no, comma, we don't. Right, like they actually gave commentary in the middle of their information document, which was my favorite part of the whole thing.
Well, you know what's crazy, actually, I mean, just from like an SEO note, so for those marketers out there, like, we pay attention to what's happening from Sodu content. So this is just real world experience.
There I think was Google a likes massive that
craze.
Real world experience. Yeah. This is already helpful content, Kyle. Continue.
Yeah, so here we go. So there was a big craze about root beer memes, all right? And this was earlier this summer. Well, there is a ton of content about root beer memes. What is it? Where does it go? We wrote up a What the Kids Are Into article that is two sentences with a link out and a GIF and a really good title. That one currently sits for like 10 different keyword phrase searches as number 2 or 3 in the article. So it's not 1,000 words. It's not 1,500 words. There's no bullet points. There's nothing fancy.
Yep.
It's just well-linked, well-titled, good image, all of that type of stuff. So
you get out.
Think about what you're writing, and is it relevant for humans? And especially when we think about auto-specific articles, are you writing as if you're writing to a local human that's connecting with a piece of content in order to drive them deeper in the search funnel? Because that's what Google is going to identify as helpful content. Let's go.
I'm feeling like this is going to be really good for a Sodu content. Because we write for people.
It'd be great.
If you haven't figured it out, Google understands what's actually good for people. And people, whether they are here or somewhere else, like the moon. Stop.
Segway.
Time. We'll use that just because we can.
They aren't going to be there soon.
Well, we had a big story. We're all excited. The NASA's Artemis 1 SLS mega rocket supposedly is going to be heading to the moon and back starting today as preparations were all set and everyone was all, you know, excited. And I walked into our office this morning and the production team has it on the monitor on the live stream, Cocoa Beach, Florida, between 8:33 and 10:33 a.m. The launch was supposed to happen after 10 years in the making. The ship's going to include 3 flight test dummies, no real humans. They're going to measure effects of radiation, et cetera, et cetera. They're going to send them out 39 to 42 days, fling them around the moon a couple times, bring it back. And it didn't happen. Didn't happen. There was a hydrogen fuel leak and a crack somewhere. And I said, man, it kind of makes me feel better. For the amount of planning and preparation and money that went into that for it still not work and something went wrong, makes me feel pretty good when something doesn't go wrong around here. Because we just thought of it 10 minutes ago.
That's the way it goes. It looks like they're set to try again on the 2nd. So later this week we might get to see this thing take off.
Yep.
A couple of my favorite things is one of the dummies' name is Helga.
Helga.
You know, it's Helga. That's a great name for a test. Why not? I don't know why.
Hey, I wonder what happened. Yeah. They had special appearances planned today by Jack Black, Chris Evans, Kiki Palmer, as well as performance of the Star Spangled Banner by Josh Groban and Herbie Hancock. Like, check that out. What are they all doing? They're like, well, we got to come back. I wonder if they'll be back.
Well,
we're going to find out.
I think they'd be back. So I do love the brand play, though. I love the brand play.
Absolutely. Hey. Not everybody can take 10 years to do something, have it go way over budget, and still have everyone excited about it. So we'll be excited. We'll tune in and let you know. Man. But for today, we got a lot of work to do as an industry. So get out there and do the work that you go and do.